Hey, get your Bible out this morning. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 to 14. We're just delighted you made it through the snow, and I understand it was cold this week, is what I heard. You know, Tina and I had to put on a jacket the other day when we were down in Florida. It was... You know, I told some folks at the door this morning, I said, don't hate me because I'm beautiful. Don't hate me because I'm blessed. Anyway, we're back now. It's like, okay, dig in. I'm looking at the forecast next week. Jesus, please. Hebrews chapter 10. You have your Bible. Open it up, please. Let's look at the Word of God in verse 10. And it says, in accordance with this will of God, we have made holy, consecrated, and sanctified through the offering made once for all of the body of Jesus, the Anointed One. Now, you have to understand before you flip from that scripture what has happened in your life when you receive Christ as your Savior. The Bible said that the blood of Jesus Christ performed something that only God could do. It was miraculous. He said that you have been made holy. Say with me, I am holy.
I am holy.
Now watch. Consecrated and sanctified. In other words, set apart for the exclusive use of God through the offering made once for all. Everybody say once for all. See, when Christ died for your sin and my sin, He didn't have to keep doing it over and over again. When you received Christ as your Savior, you were forgiven. Thank God for that. Ephesians says, sealed by the Holy Spirit. And now we have access to the throne of God through the precious blood of the Lamb. Look at the next verse. Hebrews chapter 10, we're continuing. Verse 11, furthermore, or the writer continues and he said, well, that's good, but listen to this. That's what he means by furthermore. Every human priest stands at the altar of his service, ministering daily, offering the same sacrifices over and over again. I don't know if you've ever been to a service where they do that. They have a sacrifice offered every time they have a service or every time that they come together, they're praying for forgiveness of sins. Oh, dear Lord, please, as a sinner, would you please forgive me, God, if you find grace in your eyes? Have you ever heard people say, oh, gosh, I've fallen from grace. I need to get back up. Let me tell you something. It is not that easy to fall from grace. So quit telling people that they've fallen from grace because they've fallen into sin. God is good all the time. Watch this. He said, which never are able to strip them from every side of us, the sins that envelop us and take them away. In other words, you can go through those motions and the sin is going to stick. But something happens when you receive Christ as your Savior. There's like Teflon coating. Sin doesn't stick. Look at the next verse, please. Verse 12. Whereas this one Christ, after He had offered a single sacrifice. Have you ever read the book of Leviticus? Morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice, this sacrifice for this, sacrifice for that, and sacrifice for this, and sacrifice for that. All those sacrifices, I think those poor animals, I don't know what the animal rights activists would have done back then. Because those bulls and chickens and dogs and cats and whatever they were, I mean, they were all giving it up for God. I mean, they were slaughtered at the altar, their blood sprinkled on the side of the altar, dipped in their thumb on there. I mean, it was just a nasty old thing. And here comes Jesus one time. Everybody say one time.
One time.
He offered up Himself for our sins for all time. And He sat down at the right hand of God. That's a powerful story. Look at the next verse. And He says, and then to wait until His enemies should be made a stool beneath His feet. Next verse, verse 14. For by a single offering He has forever completely cleansed and perfected those who are consecrated and made holy. God has forever completely cleansed us. You see, church will mess you up. Religion will mess you up. They will tell you that you have to pay penance or performance in order to get God's attention and forgiveness. How many know that when you have faith in Christ, it's enough?
Amen.
Amen? Put your faith in God, put your faith in Jesus, and it is enough. I'm not giving people a license to sin. Come on, you know that. I'm not saying you can go live any way you want to and just know that grace is going to cover you. I'm talking about people who have either been seduced or slipped or fallen into a temptation. You do not have to think that your name has been erased from the Lamb's Book of Life. That is not how God operates. That's not the kind of God that we serve. We serve a God of covenant. Everybody say covenant. See, I have to ask yourself and myself a question this morning. Who am I? I like that song because it really depicts the message this morning. Because there is an identity theft going on in the kingdom of God. Preachers are stealing your identity. Deacons and elders are stealing your identity. Church mamas are stealing your identity. You know, well-meaning Christian friends are stealing your identity with their opinions and their traditions and their rules and regulations and their ordinances. I remember when my wife and I first got saved, we were so excited for Jesus. We had never heard the story about being born again. We never knew that Jesus was coming back again. That's the first time we ever heard it. We knew He was born first as a baby. But when they told us, and I read the book, The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, and we prayed that prayer at the end of that book, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I was so joy-filled. I was so excited. My wife and I thought, gosh, you believe this? That God would love us so much to show us His story of salvation? And then I met Mr. Well-Meaning at work. Soon as he came to me, he said, well, yeah, but have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? I said, I didn't even know there was such a thing as the Holy Ghost. Sound like the Bible, doesn't it? I said, well, until you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're really not saved. I said, I'm not. I went home and told my wife, I said, honey, guess what? What those people at that other church said that we are, we're not. Because this guy at work said we're not. Because his church doesn't believe you are until you do these things. She said, well, we better do it because I sure want to go to heaven. I said, I do too. And that started our journey of performance and penance. I've said this before, but if you know my wife, she gets up in the morning. She won't even come out to see me until she puts on her makeup. She doesn't go out of the house until she's fixed up and put together. We went to this church and they said, oh, no, you can't wear makeup. She said, well, for Jesus, she took it off. I said, oh, God, do I have to live with this the rest of my life? We were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and found out that wasn't right either. We were told you can't wear men's clothes if you're a woman. And if you're a man, you can't switch them. We entered into a realm of confusion. And it set us back nearly 10 years in our walk with God. And in northeastern Ohio, it is rampant. It is like an epidemic of religious control. There are demonic spirits released in churches and denominations, especially in Pentecostal circles that are keeping people barely saved. They're trying to control them with their dogma. And what this world is looking for is a place where they can be saved and know that God's not going to kick them out if they make a mistake or they fall. And I want you to know that Church on the North Coast is a place where grace sticks. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. Are you trying to tell me that once saved, always saved? I believe that if you're genuinely saved, you'll be always saved. I want you to go to John chapter 1, verse 19 and 22. This is a powerful story. John the Baptist was doing his thing. He was born for this, you know. This is the testimony of John, because when the Jews sent the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem, they wanted to know one thing. They said, hey, John, who are you? Isn't that interesting? They wanted to know, who are you? Do you identify with us? Are you a Pharisee? Are you a Sadducee? Do you belong to this circle, that circle? Who's your covering? Who's your bishop? I mean, you could put in any vernacular you want to today. And it's all about religious control. And John had to deal with their inquisition. My question is, who are you? Because if you and I don't know who we are, we have no future. Until we know who we are, our future will not unfold. Go to the next scripture. He goes on to say, I confessed and did not deny. I am not the Christ. He said, I'm going to tell you who I'm not. I'm not Jesus. Go on to the next scripture, verse 21. And they ask him, well then, okay, if you're not Jesus, are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. Okay, are you a prophet? He said, no, I'm not a prophet. Isn't that interesting? Today we live in a day where everybody wants to either be a prophet, apostle, a bishop, or something. And John, the greatest on the earth, Jesus said, he said, I'm not any of those. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a bishop. I'm not an overseer. I'm not a pastor. Well then, who are you? Go to the next verse. And they said to him, who are you that we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? You know why so many of us are propagating who we are in religious terms? Because we really don't know who we are. And we feel better about ourselves if we can say we're Pentecostal, I'm Catholic, or I'm Presbyterian. We have to have some kind of an identification other than the right choice. We feel better about it when we're part of something other than ourselves. But see, God doesn't want us to identify with something on the external. He wants us to identify with something on the internal. Go to the next verse, please. Verse 23. I wasn't quite done there. And then he said this. It's the most powerful part of the whole scripture. He said, here's who I am. I am a voice crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Now, why would John say that about himself? Here's John, a powerful prophet. Jesus said nobody like him before, nobody like him behind him. He was a man consecrated unto God. From his very mother's womb, set apart for the purposes of the Lord. And here he goes and doesn't say, I'm the anointed man, have the healing ministry. I am the most high bishop. I am the reverend doctor. I am this guy. No, he said, I'm just a voice. And I'm crying out in the wilderness. But notice how he adopted his identity. Read the last part with me. As the prophet Isaiah said. Do you get that? May I use your Bible for a minute? Just let me grab it. I won't shake it or anything. He said, I am what this book says I am. Do you get that? See, some of you still don't have that. I am whatever the Bible says I am. I am more than a conqueror. That's what the Bible says I am. I am eternally saved. That's what the Bible says I am. I am the apple of his eye. Watch out now, I'm going to get happy in here. I am whatever the Bible says that I am. Now here's what the world wants to do. It wants to identify you based on what you've done. Instead of based on what he's already performed. That's why the religious world wants us to perform, to do what we can do to make up for what we've not done, to somehow get in better grace with God. Give it up. You cannot do a thing to get in the grace of God other than surrender your life to Christ and go to the cross. Amen? And when you do that, recognize your identity is in Jesus. See, there is an identity theft going on because the devil wants your stuff. Put that video on. You may have seen this before.
Hey, spending limit, who cares?
Not us, because them ain't all credit cards.
Sure ain't.
Them motorcycles was expensive and fast.
It's loud.
Oh, yeah. Them bikes be like, wah. No, no, like, no, they went like, sound good because they free. Shoot.
Yeah, shoot.
City Identity Theft Solutions. Talk to a real person to help get your life back. Free when you get a city credit card or city bank account.
Now see, we could have easily put up their church on the North Coast. Or any other denomination in America. Because you've got Christians sitting on a couch not knowing who they are because the devil has stolen their true identity away from them. And if using their resources for the world and his kingdom rather than for God's kingdom on the earth. Who's stolen your identity? Which preacher did it to you? What Bible college messed you up? What denomination took away your hope? What preacher told you and misguided you based on religious performance and penance? Who was it? Let me at him or her. John knew who he was based on what the Word said about him. Church, you need to tune into this message this morning. You need to understand that our identification is basically discovering the worth that we have in redemption. Because whatever you identify with, you will become. If you identify with performance, you'll be a performer all your life. Don't marry a guy like that, girls. Because he can't be real. Because performances break down. It's like liars. You know, liars eventually get caught because they can't remember what they said. I know, I used to be a good one. After a while, a liar actually begins to believe what he said, even though there's no foundation for truth. How many know what I'm talking about? We actually believe in religious circles the performance mentality as truth, even though it's not truth, but we've been saying it for so long, we actually believe it. Who are you? Who are you? Jesus was with the disciples at Caesarea Philippi. Matthew chapter 16, he looked at the disciples and he said, guys, I want to know something. Who do men say that I am? You remember that story? So all the disciples began to talk about, well, some say you're Elias, some say you're this, some say you're that. Jesus said, okay, that's cool. They should be confused. But who do you say that I am? Now, 11 of them didn't know. One didn't know either. But he got a revelation from heaven, which tells me you and I cannot know who he is so we can know who we are unless we get a divine revelation of him. Peter stepped up and said, thou art the Christ, ha, the Son of the living God. Ha. Boy, he went to preaching. All the disciples said, hey, Peter, preach, preach, preach. They were having church. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, O Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Then what did he say? Huh? What did he say after that? He said, I will build my church. And then what did he say? The gates of hell will not prevail against my church. And then he gave him something. What did he give Peter? Keys, which speak of what? Authority. Which speak of access. Pharaoh was the number one in the land. But Joseph got his keys. Joseph got his signet ring. It was a symbolic that any man be in Christ, you rule and reign with him. And Jesus was teaching Peter and the disciples, once you know who I am, then you can know who you are. I don't know we know Jesus. I don't know that we really know who he is. The Son of the living God, who once was dead, but on the third day was raised up. Sat down at the right hand of the Father. And then Peter walked in his authority. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. God said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He said, I know the thoughts that I have. I know the plans that I have for peace and not evil. I know that I'm going to give you a future. I've got all this stuff in my brain. God knows, but do you? We're talking about a knowledge connection this morning. Until you get a knowledge connection, you won't know who you are. And the knowledge connection is in the Word. John the Baptist's knowledge connection was what Isaiah said about him. And when he began to adapt what God said through Isaiah about him, he began to function in his destiny. And it changed the world. Do you understand something? John the Baptist changed the world. He made crooked paths straight. He prepared the way of the Lord. When he stepped into what Isaiah said about him. Oh, church, do you know what we can do when we step into what God said about you? And I begin to believe and identify with what he said. Suddenly now, I am fulfilling divine call. So here's where religion comes in. Separate you from grace. What did we say last week? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. So it's faith in grace. It's faith in what? God's willingness to save. And so what the devil wants to do through religion is give you an identity of penance and performance, an identity of failure, an identity with sin, an identity of what you don't do, not what you do or what he's done, but what you don't do. That's our identity. And as a result, the devil's spending your money. He's got your credit card. He's got your unlimited supply of the kingdom in his pocket. So we've got myriads of Christians walking around America that don't know who they are. And because they don't know who they are, they don't know who he is. And as a result, all the resources of God's kingdom are in the pocket of the devil. Spending our money. Spending our resources. The word is your knowledge connection. Let me give you five kingdom connection questions. You might want to write them down. Number one. What is the relevance of your redemption to your life? What is the relevance of your redemption to your life? Until you can answer this, you don't know who you are in Christ. And the average Christian today is illiterate to this truth. You better hear me preach. Now, I'm not here to have you win. You know, I'm not here to win an election. I'm not looking for 10 more years. I mean, I'm just helping you understand something. Until you know this truth, you don't know who you are. What is the revelation of your redemption to your life? Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, as a result of knowing that revelation, here are the keys. And upon that revelation, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Number two, these are kingdom connection life questions. What is your heritage in the death and resurrection of Christ? What do you have coming as a result of him dying? Let me tell you one. By his stripes I am healed. Glory be to God. Huh? Come on now. Number three. How do you relate to the price that he paid? How do you relate to the price he paid? Well, what price did he pay? I don't know if we relate to what it takes for a man to die for another man. For the world. How do you relate to the price he paid? There ought not to be one grumble out of your puny little mouth about a little snow coming to the house of God.
That's right.
Well, it's cold, isn't it?
Yeah, but you've been in Florida. Yeah, well, some of us are just blessed. Listen to me, church. We grumble and complain about everything. How do you relate to the price he paid? Supreme. Number four? Number four. Life questions. What does his death offer you? What does his death offer you? Number five. What does Christ's coming offer you? Oh, he's coming? I didn't even know, preacher. What does Christ's coming offer you? If you'll take those five questions and go before the Holy Spirit and allow God to reveal to you what he has provided for you through his word, your identity will change. And when your identity changes, your future will be altered. Do you hear me this morning? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Say, I'm awake, preacher.
I'm awake.
All right. See, some of us have gone 50% of the way. Show me that first slide. But you know, our problem is we haven't gone all the way in God. Can I ask a question? When are you going to go all the way? Some of us are driving a brand new car one day and a beater the next. That's what our life looks like. Go to the next slide. You know, until we make a decision to go all the way, we're either blossoming on one side of life or we're dried up on the other side of life. It's because we're trying to perform. It's because we're trying to pay penance. We're trying to get God's attention by what we can do and not what he has done. Faith, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That's what we look like to the world. Number three. One day we're in church, Monday we're back at it. Come on, church. On Sunday we look good, on Monday we're back at it. Look at the next slide. We're so confused. I don't know what that is. She looks good on both sides. Go to the next one. Whoops. Okay, that was it. Well, somebody need to play the drums there, John. When are you going to make a commitment to Christ? When are you going to make a final decision to say it's all for God and none for the world? I am going all the way with this thing because you know what? I'm tired of being two personalities. Split personalities. Multiple personalities. Have you ever gone to church with people who have a multiple personality disorder? Woo! How'd you like to have them on your board? How would you like to have a person with a multiple personality disorder pray for you? Preach to you. Do you get what I'm talking about? Look at the person next to you and say, I know who I am in Christ. Look at John chapter 15 and verse 5. Are you with me so far? John chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus said, let's read it together. You ready? It's up on the screens. Let's read it. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears what? Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You see, what you see on the outside is a direct result of my connection on the inside. So if I had become attacked by sickness and you see me get healed, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with what's on the inside of me. If I have poverty in my life and I get wealth or I get an income, it's not because of anything I've done. It's because of what's on the inside. It's what I'm connected to on the inside that makes all the difference. Are you connected to Christ? Are you connected to the world? Are you connected to both? Maybe that's why you're blossoming on one side of your life and on the other side you're drying up. You see, inside of you is a root system. Are you aware of that? How many know that this beautiful flower is as a result of something other than what you can see? This is a blossom. That's the reason. Right here. Now, if we put this in upside down, Anyway, you would think that's ugly. None of you would put that in your coffee table as a centerpiece. Because you look at that and you go, yuck. But in reality, this is the result of this. Without this, there would be no that. Jesus said in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1 that he was the root of Jesse. In Revelation 26, he said it again. I am the root of the son of David. In John 15, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. In Romans, he said that if you are grafted into this vine, what's in the vine will come out in your life. Understand, church, this is what I call results. When I need results in my life, it comes as a result of my connection. I am a divinely connected man based on my identification with Christ. Paul said to the church of Galatia, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Do you follow me? So it is the root system. your connection to the root system that will produce the results. Hold that for me. That will produce the results in your life. The enemy wants you to get divinely or secularly connected to this world. He'll do anything he can. Now, my wife and I, not long ago, well, it's been a time, but anyway, planted a vine. We didn't know it was a vine. I thought it was just a nice bush. Maybe she knew it was a vine. I didn't know it was a vine. But we planted it, and guess what happened 6 months later? It's like 12 feet long. These little things going everywhere. And you know what they do? They have little squiggly things that come off the main like thing. I know what I'm talking about. You know, the thing that goes to the thing, the whatchamacallit, you know what I mean. Well, it's got a little squiggly. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. The squiggly. And they hold on and latch on to anything it can. Before you know it, it's going up the side of the house. The enemy will bring little squiggly things in your life to try to connect you to a false identity. But as long as you and I stay connected to the root, then we're going to get results. The results are, I've got some blossoms of peace like a river. Got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. Woo! Where'd you get that joy from, preacher? It came from the root that's in me. I know what you're going through. You ought not to have any joy. Honey, I'm not connected to what I'm going through. I'm connected to what's going through me. Do you follow me? The moment you let them little squiggly things get a hold of your soul and attach you to what you're going through instead of what's living in you, you become defeated. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I'm going to try and finish with this, but I doubt it, but I'll try. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 said, you are a chosen generation. Let's read it together. Ready? Let's read it. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Wow. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, the King James says, showing forth. And really, proclaiming and showing forth means to publish or to celebrate or the attributes or the virtues of God. That we are to celebrate or show the attributes of God. The blossoms in my life are as a result of the attributes that are in me. When people come in for counseling and they're in marriage trouble, your problem is you're connected to the wrong source. Don't tell me it's her fault. It's mostly his fault. I mean, you know, like mostly it's him. Okay? It might mostly be him, but it's mostly him because he has little squiggly things connecting him to this world. Sir, you need to repent and get saved. You are out of the will of God. No, 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 it's her. It's her. It is her. You both need to come to the altar. See, don't tell me we're incompatible. Don't say you've fallen out of love. That's not true. And don't say, oh, we're going to get in the marriage conference coming up. You don't want to miss February 13th and 14th. Don't say, well, if she'd have taken better care of herself, I wouldn't have been tempted to go over there with that young thing. Don't make me come back there and slap. You're connected to the wrong thing. The results or the blossoms are the attributes of God. Did you know that God, watch this, be careful, don't get mad at me, I know it's Sunday morning, but he doesn't whore around. Do you believe that? Then why would you? Because you're connected to the wrong thing. Do you follow me so far? I don't mean to offend anybody. The root is the heritage of the branch. And the enemy will do all that he can to steal your true identity. How? Get you to identify what you have done. Get you into the performance and the penance ring. And there's no life in that root. Everybody say with me, it's dead. The root of this world is dead. You understand? Get connected to it, and what's in the root will be in you. Dead. Twice plucked up. There's no life in this world. It's dead. But in Christ, you are alive forevermore. And there is hope. He can resurrect the dead. You might be here this morning, not born again, and you are a dead man walking. But if you'll put your faith and trust in Christ, get connected to the root, He will raise you from the dead. He will make you alive. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, say it one more time. Hallelujah. Woo. Don't allow sin or failure to disconnect you, because that's how the devil does it. If you fall into a sin, so you're disobedient. You fell into a sin. So the devil now says you're disconnected. That's the biggest lie in the kingdom of darkness. And it permeates the church. We've told our young people this. Y'all going to hell listening to that music. Now look, I don't advocate listening to some sorry old music that's got all kinds of nasty things in it. That is contrary to the word of God. That's stupid. You need to get smart. Someday I'm going to preach that message. But the point being is we have told our kids there is no hope for them to be saved. We actually prophesy them into hell. Oh, yes, we do. We look at homosexuals and we're so disgusted by them that we prophesy them right out of salvation. There's no hope for them. There's no hope for a drunkard. There's no hope for that adulterer. There's no hope from that thief. There's no hope. Yes, there is. There's always hope. There's always hope. Amen. Look at somebody and say, there's always hope. We need to tell people that the grace of God is God's willingness to intervene and to invade our life with eternal life. Here's the thing. Until they can destroy that root, you and I are indestructible. Until they can destroy the root, you can't destroy me. Devil, you can take my money, you can take my house, you can take my car, you can take my clothes, you can take my family, you can take everything. You can put boils on my head, but you can't touch me. Until they can pluck the root out, you and I remain unmovable. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have said, be therefore steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the what? Yeah, come on, Jesus. Have your way. You're immovable. Look at somebody and say, you're indestructible. You're immovable. Some of you are like, well, okay, I'll say it because he's looking at me. Until they can kill the root, you and I are living forever. You understand that? Until they can take the root and kill it. Now they tried that once 2,000 years ago. But on the third day, up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph for his foes. Hallelujah. Come on, stand up, lift your hands up, say, I'm connected. Hallelujah. Come on, shout it, I'm connected. I'm connected. Hallelujah. Come on, church, say with me, for by grace, through faith, I have been saved. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, thank him for the grace. Thank him for his willingness. Thank him because he has saved you and set you free and set you apart. Hallelujah. With your head bowed, let me ask this question. If the devil's been lying to you, if church has been lying to you, people have been lying to you, religion's been lying to you, preacher's been lying to you, your mama's been lying to you, I don't know who it was that's been telling you you've got to perform and do penance to get God's attention. It's wrong. Jesus paid the price. It was with every head bowed, let me ask this question. You're here today and you say, Pastor, if I were to die today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I'd go to hell. I don't know that I'd go into oblivion. I don't know that I would just sit there and just melt away. I want you to listen to the words of this song. Because God is here, standing here, reaching out to you. Because he wants you to come in and be connected. He'll never leave you.
But now I know,
and he'll never forsake you.
That you have redeemed me by grace.
Thank you, Lord.
The distance has been erased. Now I'm free to worship you, Lord, with all of my soul and everything.
Oh yes, Lord, you draw me near to worship you. Draw us close, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to listen to now. Listen to the words. Said this. He said, draw me near, near, blessed Lord, to the cross. So right now, if you're here this morning and you say, I want to be born again. I want Jesus as my Savior. I want to connect to Christ. Disconnect from this world. Altar ministers, would you join me across the front? That's you this morning. Just lift your hand and say, Pastor, I need that prayer. I need that prayer. I want to draw close to Jesus. I want you to come and let us pray for you right now. Come on, from the very back row to the front row, from the very side to the middle. I want you to come and join us as we worship him, because we are free to worship Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Thank you, Lord. Bruce, would you come and just close us in prayer this morning? And as Bruce comes, I want you to come and connect with God in a special way. God bless you all. We love you with all of our heart. And I'll see you on the north side, or I'll see you Thursday night.
We just want to thank everybody for coming. If you could just go ahead and bow your heads, lift your hands to the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for drawing us all here today, Father, for drawing our hearts. And Father, we pray that you would connect us to the true vine, Father. We pray that your vine, Father, your hand, Father, and your will would grab craft itself around our hearts, Father, and around our minds, Father, that you would renew our hearts this week, that you would renew our minds, and Father, that you would change our focus, Father, from the things, Lord, that are taken away from your glory and from us being closer to you, Father. Draw us closer this week, Father. Draw our hearts, Father. We pray, Father, that you help us to have blinders to the distractions in our week this week, Father. We pray, Father, that hindrances and stumbling blocks will be moved out of our way, Father, and those that have been placed there by you for our growth. We pray, Lord, that you give us the strength, Father, to uproot those things and cast them into the sea, Father. And, Lord, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We just want to thank everybody for coming. If you don't have a church home, we welcome you. We'd love to have you here. Please feel free to go back to our service center desk at the entrance. Men, for the men's conference, if you want to get connected to that, go ahead and check with us back there also. Our elders will also be at the back tables if you would like to speak with someone, to pray with someone. They're also here. And live right, love everybody, pray hard.